Well, amen. Speaking of God's grace, the Lord has been growing our church. And as you exit these doors right here, you'll see pictures of some of our new members that have joined recently. And Brooke has also been doing an amazing job of working on the directory, and it's almost finished. And so if you're here this morning and you haven't had your picture taken, find Brooke and get your picture taken. Otherwise, I'm going to pull one from wherever I can find it, or it'll say in A, and so you will not have a picture in the directory. Please join me in Jonah, chapter 1. We did our time last week with Jonah being hurled overboard into the Mediterranean Sea. And when Jonah hits the waters, the sea ceased from raging. The storm stopped. See, God is sovereignly orchestrating his plan, and in so doing, God uses the disobedience of Jonah to save the lost crew. And sadly, as we saw last week, Jonah did not get to see their salvation. He did not get to see the crew fear the Lord and repent from their idols because he was in the sea. He had not yet himself, as a prophet of God, called upon the Lord. He was still suffering in his sin. And so please join me in Jonah chapter 1, beginning in verse 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried. You heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God, my life was fainting away. I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you and to your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with a voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word this morning. What we need to see, starting off with, is verse 17, the Lord's grace. Verse 17, the Lord's grace. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So Jonah hits the sea of crashing waves due to God's sovereign plan and the hands of the mariners. And as he does, a great fish comes and swallows Jonah up, and the raging storm stops. See, the lost mariners are now saved and worshiping God, the God who stopped the storm. And Jonah is in the belly of a great fish sinking in his sin. We must have correct spiritual eyes here when we read this story. Jonah is sitting against the Lord, and God is piling on the storm. But this storm is also a grace in his life and a grace to the lost, isn't it? I think very few times in life do we actually consider storms a grace. Let us not also forget how this storm began. God called Jonah to go and proclaim repentance to the lost souls in Nineveh, and Jonah said no. Yet even in Jonah's disobedience, God's grace is overflowing because his will is to save those in Nineveh. And his will is to use Jonah to do it. God is sovereign in the storm. Isn't that good for us this morning? Think over this past week how you and I have sinned against the holy and mighty God. God was still sovereign over that. He was still sovereign while you and I were being disobedient. Jonah is playing in the depths of sin instead of climbing the heights of God's grace. The downward spiral of Jonah's life of sin has not yet resulted in death, but God's graciousness has overflowed to awaken his sleeping soul. And we see now that a large fish has taken over by God's sovereign hand, has taken Jonah. But I don't want you to lose yourself on the large fish. I think too many pastors and commentators do. I want you to be captivated by the one who created the fish. I want you to be captivated by the one who sent the fish, to become in awe of the one who appointed the fish to swallow Jonah. See, look at verse 17. And the Lord, the subject of verse 17 is the Lord, not a great fish. God used a large fish of His creation, of His own making, as His instrument of grace for Jonah as he reached his lowest depth of depravity to date. Get lost in God's graciousness. This story is about the Lord. Jonah refused to obey the Lord, right? He flees the words of God. He flees to a ship. He flees in the opposite direction. He flees to the lower depths of the boat. He flees to sleep. He flees the words of the captain to call out to the Lord. But the Lord is extremely gracious with Jonah, his prophet. And let me say this. If we are here this morning, the Lord has been extremely gracious with us. He is extremely patient as well. And He is all of this because in this story, it is the will for Jonah to call out to those in the great city of Nineveh to repent. So let me ask you, how has the Lord been gracious with you, dear child? How often do we hit pause and thank the Lord for His graciousness? How has He been gracious to you? How has His grace not just covered you at salvation, but how has His grace overflowed and overwhelmed you, even in your sin, even today? Get lost in God's grace and respond with thankfulness and obedience. How are you being gracious with those that you are around, with your spouse? How are you being gracious with your family, with your children, your grandchildren, your friends? How are you being gracious with your lost co-workers, with your neighbors? Don't you see, when you dig deeper into knowing the Lord who called us and saved us, we understand Him more and our great need to image Him according to His holy word. See, God is sovereignly working this storm for His glory and for the good of Jonah. God knows what Jonah must go through to repent, but yet Jonah has not yet cried out to the Lord. Let me ask you, are you in a storm right now? Are you in a storm right now? Are you crying out to the Lord? Are you fleeing to creation? Are you fleeing to your idols? Are you lifting up your soul to Yahweh? Are you getting on your knees and seeking God with your whole heart? Isn't that the promise out of Jeremiah? When you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. Maybe that's the problem. We think we can just find God when we seek Him 5% of our week. He says, you come to me, you cry to me with all that you are. So Jonah is swallowed by this great fish. And finally, when the fish carries him down to the deep, we see Jonah's cry. Jonah's cry. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord. Out of my distress, He answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, and You heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All Your waves and Your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from Your sight, yet I shall again look upon Your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet You brought up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came to You and to your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. So the Lord appointed this fish, this taxi of grace. The Lord saved Jonah from death in the sea by taking him to a place where it is just him and God. Think about that. There was nobody else around for him to talk to. There was nowhere else for Jonah to flee. There was no more ship, no more plans, no more storms. Everything else had been removed. And it was Jonah and the fish with the Lord. You know, is the life of Jonah really not our life? We do not humble ourselves before a holy God enough, so the result is that God humbles us. He brings us to the end of our rope. He removes all other comforts and options, and He points us to the undeniable truth that He is sovereign. And when we respond, we are on our knees crying out to the Lord. Listen to Isaiah 45, verse 22. It says, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." See, when we seek the Lord completely, when we humble ourselves before His holiness, the end result is always falling before Him in prayer. This is what it took for Jonah. It took Jonah fleeing all these different directions, fleeing, trying to escape from the felt presence of the Lord. And finally, the Lord in His graciousness appoints a fish to swallow him. I mean, you can't make this up. A large fish swallows Jonah, takes him to the bottom of the sea. And finally, when he is all beside himself, finally, when he has reached his end's wit, he calls out to the Lord. It took Jonah being alone in a belly of a fish before he cried out, "Yahweh." See, Jonah's plan for fleeing from God is now over, and we see Jonah fleeing to the Lord. But I want you to see something here. Jonah was a prophet of God. He was a prophet of God fleeing from the Lord, but the Lord stepped in and provided him with exactly what he needed. The Lord brought him to the point of brokenness by placing him all alone where he had nothing else to do. Church family, this is what we need, isn't it? Could it be that everything that is happening right now in society, could it be that everything we're seeing when we turn on our television, when we hear the radio, could it be the Lord is saying, "You know what? You will not wake up. I'm bringing you to the point. Call out to me." Could it be? Could it be we've gotten to the point where we've just been so consumed with our depravity, so obsessed with the sins that we cherish and love more than a holy and mighty God? And it's just to that point now, it's like, here you go. Wake up. This is what we need. We need to meet with the Lord, don't we? I don't just mean in here. Please understand that. I'm talking about meeting with the Lord day by day. Remember, who was Jonah? A prophet of God. He was chosen by God. He met with the Lord each and every day, and now he's fleeing from the Lord each and every day. But God in His graciousness is drawing him back to Himself because He has a plan to use Jonah for the continuation of His glory to advance the gospel. We need to meet with the Lord. Knowing about the Lord is not meeting with Him. This is probably what the Lord has convicted me of the most. Knowing about the Lord is not meeting with Him. When you read the Old Testament and you look at the prophets, man, I think of Moses. Moses has already experienced the burning bush, which If any of us could say in this room, that would be absolutely amazing. But yet Moses had already seen the point where the Red Sea had been parted, the 10 plagues had taken on. But yet you still see Moses calling out to the Lord, "Lord, I want to see your glory." When's the last time we've cried that out? When's the last time you've been alone and you've called upon the Lord? "Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to see you do something in my life. I want to know your felt presence more than anything else. I want to abandon everything that I have and to know you more intimately, to be acquainted with you and to live for you." I think the reason we don't do it is because we really don't think we need him. Jonah cries to the Lord in his distress, in his trouble. He cries from the pit. He acknowledges that the Lord heard his voice. And when Jonah cries out to the Lord, look at what he declares. Look at his words. Look at verse 3. "For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. The flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me." Jonah says that the Lord cast him into the sea. Jonah says it was the Lord's waves and billows that passed over him. Yes, this storm came. Yes, the captain called him to call out to the Lord. Yes, the dice was rolled. Yes, the sailors threw him overboard. Yes, the seas covered him. But it was all caused by God, and it was also because of Job's sin. You might be here this morning declaring, "I do not know of any sin that I have not repented of yet, yet I am still in a storm." We must remember that the storms of this life are about making much of God and His holiness. The storms of this life are about turning to God and praising Him and becoming more and more like Christ, imaging Christ. They are about trusting Him and His sovereign purposes, just as Job did. So you kind of see the flip here. You see, with Job, you see a man who immediately called upon the Lord and he still worshiped him when he lost everything. Jonah right here, he's upset about the salvation of current sinners. And he says, "No, I don't want to go." And he tries to flee from the Lord. Jonah does not just credit God for the storm. He credits God for saving him from the destruction of his sin. Look at verse 5. "The water closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me up, my life from the pit. Oh, Lord, my God. Lord, you brought me to my knees. You brought me to the deep. You brought me to despair." It was in the depths of the sea that Jonah admitted the depths of his sin and called out to the Lord. What a great God, right? I mean, it's like what Scripture declares. At the time, you and I do not like discipline, do we? There's not a single person or a child or a spouse in here who could say, "I like when somebody points out my sin." But it's needed. Because what's at stake? The gospel. What's at stake? The image of Christ. I have a sign in my office that was written by a 9th grade girl named Marielle. I taught Marielle some biblical truths, and she made a sign to remind me of what I taught her and others at First Baptist Church Keller. Marielle is now a freshman in college, and the sign still remains in my office as a constant reminder. And it reads this: "Never stop, never give up, keep confessing." Never stop, never give up, keep confessing. I would not be surprised this morning if there's some people who have stopped confessing. I would not be surprised this morning if there's some of you who have given up completely. But look at Jonah. The waters closed over him to take his life. The deep surrounded him. The weeds were wrapped around his head. Jonah was a land of bars, a land of constant rebellion. But it was here that he cried out to the Lord. It was here that the Lord brought his life up from the pit. I call on you this morning to cry out to the Lord. See, understand this. This sermon, this time of worship with God's family is so precious. But do you understand that you can leave here and have a greater joy by still meeting with the Lord at some point today? It's like the missionary that came over from China and he said, I don't understand. How can your people are satisfied with hearing about people who went up the mountain? Do you not know you can go up the mountain yourself? Do you not know you can be like Moses and climb that mountain and know the vast greatness of His holiness and His righteousness and be content with Him? Call upon the Lord. Obey the one true living God. Get in His holy word and accomplish His will. And if you have sin, repent of it. Richard Phillips made this observation. It says, it is the influence of God's word that turns our hearts back to God in prayer instead of away from God on ships bound for Tarshish. See, Jonah was content with, he had to constantly say over in his mind and his heart, I'm not going to Nineveh, I'm going to Tarshish, 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 three times in verse 2. Jonah had God's word. And it sure seems like Jonah grew up reading the Psalms based on his prayer. I mean, men in pain calling out to the Lord. There are too many men, there's too many women, there's too many youth, and too many churches bound for Tarshish, fleeing from God's word and embracing the culture. And it's time for all of us to drop the anchor of our soul into God's holy word and fight the depravity of this world with the power of God, because your strength and my strength won't do it. John 17:17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Jonah was still in the fish. Do you realize that? He's still in the fish, and look what he declared. You brought up my life from the pit. He's still in the fish. He's saying, you brought me up from the life of the pit because I just met with you. I just spent time with you. He ran to him. He abided in him. And as we see later, it wasn't very long later until he got angry again. Verse 7, when my life was fading away, I remembered Yahweh. I remembered Yahweh, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Jonah's life was filled with sin. He was dying. He remembered Yahweh. Jonah remembered the Lord, and he prayed to Him, and Yahweh heard his prayer in the holy temple. What we sometimes forget when we are in a storm is that God is with us. What we sometimes forget is the promises of God for His chosen children, because we don't see past our sin. We don't see past the situation. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says this, keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, how does that apply? Well, Jonah wasn't focused on the Lord, so Jonah was focused upon anything but obedience to God. Especially in the American church and especially in Western society, we become consumed with the things of this world. We love God. We love more money. We forget that there is great contentment in the Lord. God is with us. Call on Him. Run to Him. Take refuge in Him. He is our Redeemer, our fortress, our rock, our shield, our Prince of Peace, of whom we are to drink from daily. See, I think that's also another good connection point. We drink from lots of things, but is it mainly from the Lord? I mean, think about this worship service, for example. It starts at 9:45. If you're lucky, your pastor lets you out by 11:15. Then you go to missional groups. And so you've gotten your 3 hours. Is 3 hours a week enough for you? I mean, if you balance it out, you might actually spend more time sleeping than you do with the Lord each week. Look at verse 8. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. Man, have we forsaken our hope and steadfast love because we care more about our idols and love our idols more than we love the Lord? But Jonah, he gets to the point, he says, "But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to Yahweh." As children of God, if we get out of the Word of God, we will serve vain idols. Make no mistake about that. Do you realize that? That's your first sign. When people come into my office and I'm meeting with them for counseling, or I'm meeting with myself and I'm just reminding myself, where does it start for me when I get out of the Word? When I do counseling for marriages or family counseling, it's like, tell me about your walk with the Lord. Are you reminding yourself of who God is? Because if you come in here with a marriage problem, I can tell you where it starts. It starts with you and the Lord and your spouse with the Lord. Are you leading them? Are you meeting with God? Well, if you're not meeting with God, what do you expect? You've come down off the mountain and you're straying after vain idols. Do you see the idols in your life? I love what Jonah says. He says, "What I have vowed, I will pay." He's acknowledging it costs something. It costs your life to follow the Lord. And he says, "I'm going to do it. I wasn't then. I'm going to do it now." Which brings us to the question, have we laid our idols before the Lord? Are you turning away from your idols? Have you acknowledged the Lord as supreme by worshiping Him alone and faithfully serving Him? If you haven't done this, if you haven't cried out to the Lord, cry out to Him. Get alone. Call on Him. Cry to Him with thanksgiving, knowing that in Him and in Him alone is forgiveness. Look at the end of verse 9. It's marvelous. Salvation belongs to Yahweh. Deliverance of Jonah was granted by the Lord. Isn't the sovereign Lord worthy to be praised this morning, no matter if we're in a storm or not? That the Lord sends Jonah to deliver sinners from hell, and Jonah rebels, and when he repents, the Lord delivers him, reminding him of his own deliverance. Right? That's what's so beautiful about this. You have a prophet of God who can still turn away from the Lord, and in the midst of this, the Lord brings him down to the pit, reminding him of the very thing that he's calling him to go and do. Remember, I called on you a few days back to go and to draw people up from the pit. And yet, I had to bring you down to the pit to remind you of what I called you to do and where I brought you from. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah was a sign of what was to come. The one can only be saved by the Lord. Salvation belongs to Christ. Christ is the only sacrifice sufficient for one's sins. The only sacrifice accepted is the blood of Jesus Christ. And the sign of Jonah is a sign for every generation. That salvation belongs to the Lord, and it is proven by the resurrection of Christ from the dead himself. That's the sign of Jonah. Y'all listen as I read this from the New Testament, from Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. It says either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. The evil person out of the evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. Jesus answered, An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. Isn't that great? I just kind of told you part of the end of the story. People repented. And Jesus is declaring to this group, don't you get it? People from Nineveh are going to rise up and they're going to judge you. People in Nineveh will rise up with the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented of the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. See, that's what we need to understand. The greatest thing that has happened to this place is Jesus. The greatest thing that's ever going to happen to this place is Jesus. The question is, does your life say that's the greatest thing? Because if it does, that changes everything. It's like getting a new quarterback. The game is changed. Have you cried out to the Lord for salvation? And if you're already a child of God, when's the last time you got on your knees and cried out to Him? When's the last time you got alone with Him and cried to Him? Look at verse 10. We see the delivery is complete. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Children love that word, vomited. Jonah cried out to the Lord for deliverance, and the Lord delivered him while in the fish. And how did God deliver Jonah? I love this. The Lord spoke to the fish. Hey, large fish, vomit Jonah up on the land over there. Okay. God sovereignly delivers him from the sea to the dry land. And the scripture kind of points to the truth. He delivered him where he needed to go to begin with. And he did it by commanding a great fish to vomit him out. Jonah did not arrive in Nineveh by his own doing. It was the Lord that delivered him. The Lord delivered Jonah to accomplish his predetermined will. And if you're here this morning, please hear this. God's will is not complete for our life because we're still alive. Our journey home is not yet complete. As much as we want to be home, right? We're still to be working. Our work for the Lord will not happen when we are worshiping idols. It will not happen. Idols keep you. Idols keep me from seeing the Lord. What idols do you have? What idols do you have? You know, I think some of the most obvious questions in Scripture we try to look over because we just don't want change, right? Because change is difficult. You have to admit you're a sinner. You have to agree with God with what sin is in your own life. But yet in Jonah, we see Jonah is a story of salvation, that salvation is of the Lord. Let us keep God and the gospel of salvation in front of our eyes. Let us flee from idols. Don't flee from the Lord. Flee to Him. Because I promise you this, everything else will still leave you hopeless. Everything else will lead you astray into vanity. Only fleeing to the Lord is life found. Because life is found in Christ. That's why there's so much about saying, abide in me. If you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples. You'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. That's why when storms come, you can still abide, because you know there's nowhere else to flee to. There's nowhere else to go. Don't flee from the Lord. Flee to Him. Meet with Him. Cry out to Him. That's something that I've started to do in my own life more and more, and I'm ashamed that I haven't done it as much or didn't do it in the past, is just meeting alone with the Lord in silence, turning off the music, putting my phone on airplane mode, and just saying, Lord, I want to see Your glory. Lord, I want to see You. I want to meet with You. I don't want to read another book. I don't want to read another commentary. I don't want to read something by a man who has met with You. I want to meet with You. The same Holy Spirit in them is in me. I want to meet with You. So wherever you are today in life, if you're on the dry land, you've just been spit up, or you're in the belly of the fish, or you are on that boat in a storm, I call on you to cry out to the living God. Call on Him. There's no better cry, and there's no one that you can flee to. He satisfies. He alone is good, and He is our joy. He is our justification, our sanctification, and one day He's going to be our glorification. Don't wait for the day when Jesus comes back, because at that point, yes, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And don't look in your past and say, my knee is bowed and my tongue has confessed. I'm asking you today to get on your knees and to confess that He is Lord, that He is Yahweh, and find everything in Him.